So this is week four of our expectation series here at Divine Design Fall 2020. And we've really had a good time looking at expectations, how powerful they are in our lives. And we've spent the last 3 weeks hopefully establishing two really big building blocks in terms of mindsets. And first of all, it's the relational mindset, a relational approach to our expectations and beliefs. And then the second one is that internal focus. God looks at the heart. And so we want to have that same expectation too, that is the main focus. And we want to look inward. We talked last week about storms and that we really can have the expectation that our inner environment can be like Jesus, at rest, trusting God in faith. And, you know, we've said that faith and trust are the essence of expectations. So today we're going to talk about another expectation, and it's called God Refreshes Us. And as I was seeking the Lord about where to go next, I was thinking about kind of the other way it goes. That's not a storm. A storm tends to be violent, really turbulent. It's, you know, it draws your attention. And then there's that other more subtle type of situation where you just kind of feel off. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I always think, when I think about this little way of kind of being off on my insides, about that Disney movie that was about the Emperor's New Groove, and someone announces about the Emperor, the Emperor has lost his groove. Well, I know that I have experienced that, and I was thinking back to a season back this summer, and I want to finish my remarks today telling you a little bit about that, but that was the inspiration for my lesson. And I just wanted to start by saying that really those subtle cues of feeling dry, you know, sometimes I hear people saying, you know, I kind of feel dry in my times with the Lord. Kind of a little bit of barrenness, not a lot of joy, not a lot of get up and go, just that sense of being sort of in a little slump or a funk or whatever you want to call it. Those are the things we want to talk about today. And I can pretty much assure you that if you've got that going on, you've had some expectations slip in that are not lined up with what the Bible has to say. And, you know, I was thinking about what happens. Like, if I want to check out for my shopping bag online, do y'all like online shopping like I do? I've done a lot of it over this season. So when I want to make that purchase go through and it's not cooperating, and I just keep trying and it won't go through, I go to the top of the page and I refresh my browser. And that'll reset things. Those signals that whoever that website is signaling out into the hidden world of the internet come and meet whatever signals are going on inside of my computer, and they realign, and then we're able to make connection. Well, to me, that's a really good metaphor or a really good picture in the physical of what happens to us spiritually and relationally with the Lord on our insides. That we get disconnected and discombobulated with the Lord because our expectations aren't lined up with His. So there's that misalignment and that disconnection that happens. And it causes us to have some of those symptoms that I was mentioning earlier. And so what we need is we need to do that refreshment thing. And the Bible, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, goes to the original language. And in this case, it's in the New Testament, so it's the Greek. And looks at what does the word refreshment really mean biblically. What can we expect? Well, it's a recovery of breath or revival. I could use a breath of fresh air. Could you? I could use a little revival. How about you guys? So that's what we're talking about today. And we're going to need to do that, y'all. As people living in a fallen world that still gets signals, our flesh wars against our spirit. And we have a new heart in Christ, but we still continue to battle with the flesh. And, of course, the world and the enemy. So we're going to need to constantly know how to connect with God in His refreshment. So life teaches us, the world teaches us to look to temporal things. We look to people, we look to things, we look to how the stock market's doing, we look to that next vacation, whatever it might be that you think is going to bring you refreshment. And it's true that some of those things, we're blessed to have them. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So he gives us these temporal gifts to refresh us. But that's a temporary source of refreshment. What we want to connect to today is the fact that we have a constant and eternal source of refreshment available to us that we can always count on. And that's God. And Jesus issues an invitation to us in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. That's a famous passage, so I'm giving it to you from a modern translation. And this is the way it reads. It says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life. For I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me." So I think that's just a lovely and refreshing thought in and of itself, is that I've always got the invitation from Jesus to be able to come to him when things are disconnected or off. So let's do a little listening exercise, a little self-assessment time for about 25, 30 seconds. Let's stop and ask ourselves, and I'll just say it in the form of a prayer. Holy Spirit, would you come and just reveal to us where we seek out refreshment? What are our go-to sources that we regularly pursue, expecting to find refreshment? Tell you what works for me really good is a nap. It's my reset button. If I can just go to sleep for a power nap for about 20 minutes, sometimes that'll do it for me. A lot of times it will. And then the other thing is exercise. So those are the two things that I would say. I go to those. I kind of count on those. And they do provide that. But again, it's a temporary kind of thing. Today, we want to look at an account in the life of Peter, where Jesus offered him refreshment that is the kind that lasts. And I think we'll see as we look at this story in Scripture that we really can have a biblical expectation of refreshment in our relationship with the Lord as he deals with our internal climate. So let's talk about it. God has promised abundant life. John 10:10 is a source for that. Life to the full. Not just half full, not dry, but abundant life. And so we want to have that as our expectation. And if that's not what's happening, we want to ask him to search us, just like we just did that self-assessment. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So Jesus did this for Peter. The context of this story is that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. We know that right before his death that Peter denied him three times. Jesus had warned him that he would be tempted to do that, and sure enough, he did it. And so he's making another appearance to his disciples in this account, and Peter realizes it's the Lord, and this is the scene where when he realizes it's the Lord, he jumps out of the boat and goes swimming fast and furious to the shore. So this is where we're going to pick up in verse 15 of John 21. It says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one that betrays you? He was speaking of the disciple John there. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So let's notice a few things about this conversation. First of all, there was broken trust between Jesus and Peter. And how did Jesus handle that? First of all, there was no condemnation. He didn't put a guilt trip on Peter. He came to him gently. He came to him in private. He came to him relationally. And those are the same things we can expect from Jesus when we need to reconnect with him and realign with him. When we've had wrong expectations or unbelief or any other way that we've grieved him. And so what do we want to do? Instead of hiding and avoiding, which is our temptation, you know, when there's something painful between you and somebody else, you kind of, it's maybe not that pleasant to approach it. But we want to be like Peter. We want to jump out of the boat and go as fast as we can to handle it, you know? And so you can give him credit for that. And what happened in this conversation, I believe, did bring restoration and refreshment to Peter. And we know he repented. We know that what they got to was the heart. That Jesus was calling out what was really, really true of Peter. That no matter what his outward behavior, no matter what his sinful act was, at the bottom of the barrel, Peter loved Jesus and was called to follow him and was called to tend his sheep. So Jesus was calling that out in his friend and his disciple. And so when we respond with repentance as Peter did, there's a wonderful verse that tells us what's going to happen for us on the inside. Acts 3:19, and this is the Phillips translation, says, now you must repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that time after time your souls may come to know the refreshment that comes from the presence of God. So I chose that translation because I thought it showed the verb tense very well. It's a continual process. We want to expect that this is going to happen regularly in our lives, that time after time, we'll have to just come back to Jesus for that refreshment. And what does repent actually mean? Again, we're looking at the original language, and it says repent means to change one's mind for the better. Think again. And to turn. We're turning back to Jesus, away from our own ways, aren't we? And I like, and I've used this so many times before, but I wanted to remind us of one preacher that I heard one time say, you could take the two syllables of the word repent to understand it more completely. Re means to do over, and pent means the highest place. So to repent means to see things from the highest place, and where is that? That's from God's perspective. So we think again, seeing it from God's perspective. And guys, when we see it, when we actually get a glimpse of the way it looks from God's side, what happens? Our hearts are going to respond. It's not like we're going to have to work it up. We'll see it, and then the faith will come in order to respond and to turn back to God. And so what do? We just want to come into agreement with him. We want to realign with his expectations. We want to realign with what he said is true. And so we confess. And of course, we all know 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And guys, we want to stand on that truth. We want to stand on the fact that we are cleansed. clean once we've done that. We are forgiven once we've done that. The word confess is really great. If you look at the original language on that, it says to say the same thing as another. So it's just to say, oh, Jesus, you're saying this should be my expectation. Jesus, you're saying this was where I got off base with you. You're saying this is where we disconnected. Oh, I agree with you. So you're just coming into agreement with him. And when you do that, he's going to forgive you and cleanse you. And at this point, I want to just say, how good do you think Peter felt after that? You know, it's almost like being dirty and taking a bath. But that's really not what happened. I wanted to remind you of John chapter 13, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And if you'll recall, when Jesus came around to Peter, he said, oh, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And he said, I need a bath. You know, wash me all over. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't have need of a bath. You just need to have your feet washed. And so what we're doing when we come to Jesus, when we repent of something that's caused disconnection, when we confess and receive his forgiveness, we're just having our feet washed. And for that reason, I've given you another blue page today, and it's called God Restores Us or Reconciles Us. And what it, don't read it right now because it's very deep theology, but what I do want to say about it is this. If you need shoring up on the finished work of Jesus and your salvation, this will give you so, so much ammunition to quiet down any guilt, accusation, condemnation, doubt, or unbelief in that area. So we're not talking about your salvation refreshing you, although it is excitingly refreshing when you come into the kingdom of God. But what we're talking about is a relational disconnect that happens when we get off of God's path. So are y'all hearing that? Okay, so just giving you an extra resource to shore you up if you have any questions about that. But let's talk about roots, because the Bible speaks of repentance as laying an axe to the root of a sin. John the Baptist preached repentance, and that's what he said in Matthew 3:10. Let's lay an axe to the root. Well, what do we believe would be the root of Peter's denial? I think he had a wrong expectation. I think he was putting his hope in his own self, that he thought he could keep himself safe. He thought he could keep himself strong. And I think we want to definitely do this deeper step of looking at roots, or else we'll fall into that sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess cycle. I'm really not concerned with your behavior. God's not supremely concerned with your behavior, but I love you and God loves you, and the behaviors that we just continue to habitually do that aren't in line with what the word of the Lord says are just harmful for us, and they don't produce abundant life. So we want to get to that root, and usually what we are doing is needing to go all the way back to those core needs inside of us that every human being has. And I've looked at many lists over the years of what are our legitimate core needs that we all need to have well-being in life. You can call them several different names. These are the ones I've chosen today because I wanted to address these. I feel like they're the ones most important when we have some things that are off in our relationship with the Lord and on our insides. So the first one is love. Well, if we're looking to another source for a constant supply of perfect love, no matter what we do, the only place we can look is God. Y'all realize that, right? So God tells us, and I've chosen Old Testament references here because Peter would have been privy to these. These would have been written in his day or before his day. So Psalm 90:14 tells us that God will, and it's a prayer for the God to satisfy us in the morning with his unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. So we can look to God for that perfect love, for safety, a promise that was given to Jacob. Genesis 28:15 says, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I've promised you. We can appropriate that promise because the Word of God tells us in Romans 15:4, these things were written so that you might know that we can count on God and expect God to treat us in exactly the same way as he treated Peter or David or Jacob. And then acceptance. Psalm 5:12 is a favorite, and it's a familiar one. I love the Message translation of it today, and it said, "You'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. You are famous, God, for welcoming God seekers, for decking us out into light." So when we feel weird, when we feel like we've been rejected, when we feel like we just need somebody who understands us, we can expect God to be that person always. Contribution, another word you could use for that is significance. We all want to feel, whether we have some like high profile life or not, even just a simple life, we want to feel like we left this world better than we came here. We want to feel like we're doing something that counts. We want to know that we personally matter. That's what this is talking about. And Proverbs 16:3 addresses that. And here it is in the Amplified. "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." So, guys, we tend to want and expect people to approve and people to put, you know, the compliment to what we do and to recognize it. But we know that God sees it, and that when we commit it to him, he's going to give us the success that he defines. And then lastly, connection. You could say belonging. Everyone needs to know that they belong. Intimacy. Listen to how the scripture addresses that. Psalm 63:5 and following from the New Living. It's talking about God. "Lord, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely." So that's a picture of intimacy, isn't it? Just being close to the heart of God. And so we can expect and count on that. But y'all, any time that we put these expectations on a human being, we have deceived ourselves. We've been deceived. We've lied to ourselves. And not only that, we've done like what Peter did. We've denied God. We've denied him his rightful place because only God is worthy of that place. And he's the only one that's able to completely fill those needs. And so we want to ask him to show us where we've done that. And even though that's hard work, it will bring the refreshment that we're all longing for. It will bring the freedom that we're looking for. One of the ways we can identify it is by our overreactions. And what I mean by that is sometimes we'll have a situation, a storm, or maybe just a little dry patch like what we're talking about today. And if it measures, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 2, 3, or 4. You know, it's not a big deal. It, you know, it matters, but it's not huge. And we're reacting off the charts at an 8, 9, 10, 11. That is a fast way to go, I think I may have put my expectations in the wrong thing. Peter's emotional reaction in the denial, it's a good place to look because he had three opportunities and he started out emotionally at a pretty stable place and it just ratcheted up with each successive time. And I liked the commentator, that account is in Matthew 26, and Albert Barnes commented on that. And he again pointed to Peter's self-reliance and self-dependence, and he said he forgot his promises. But I wanted to read this last statement, starting with the word true. It says, "True Christian confidence is that which relies on God for strength and feels safety only in the belief that He is able and willing to keep from temptation. So that it's God, not us. He's the only one that's able to do that. So we want to identify those places, and we want to run to Jesus, come to Him, and deal with that. And then as we do that, He cleanses us, as we've said before. But we want to complete that loop. We don't want to just clean house on our insides. Because the Bible says this in Matthew 12, 33 and 34 from the New Living. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. So we've done all this work of identifying wrong expectations and where we've disconnected, where we're misaligned. Then we come to Jesus. We repent, we confess, we receive forgiveness and cleansing. We identify what's at the root of it. And then we don't want to just stop there, because what's likely to happen if we don't refill that space with what's new and more powerful, then we're likely to just fall into that trap of repeating the same old mindset, and the same old behavior will be the result and the fruit of that. So what do we want to do? We want to do what Jesus said. Another great invitation of His is Him inviting us to come to Him. And I'm going to read from the King James, and I have a reason for doing that. John 7, 37 and 38. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So let's talk about two key words in that passage, the word thirst. I was so pumped when I looked up the Greek on this. Here's what it says in Strong's. Thirst is this: those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, strengthened. So who doesn't want to get in touch with their thirst? And then belly. King James gives the literal word there, belly. In the more traditional translations that we're used to hearing, it says inmost being. So why belly? Well, just think about it. Our emotional self is kind of what we call our gut. And that's what we want to get in touch with. We want to get in touch with what's going on in our guts. You know, and it's out of that place. And when you look at the Greek for that, it literally means hollow place or cavity. It's empty. That place where we're empty, that place where we're longing, that place where we don't have the resources to get the things that we long for and expect, it's that place. That out of that place, that's where Jesus sends those rivers of His Spirit. The river of living water will come bubbling up out of that place. So we are so hungry and thirsty because we're empty. And that's the very place where Jesus wants to come in and provide us with that refreshing river of living water. So we want to come thirsty. We want to come hungry. We want to come to taste and see that God is good, because He is. And so as we begin identifying these false expectations and repent of them, we want to come now and finish that circle out. Not process out, but taking a big, deep drink. And the scripture tells us in Isaiah 58:11 that He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's a promise we can appropriate, especially in the season we're in. And I want to tell you a testimony that's kind of relative to the fact that we're in a pandemic. I looked back in my journal. I had a huge encounter with the Lord that has really gave me the template for this lesson this morning. I was out for a walk one day. It was in the month of June, so we were 3 months in. And I had had been in that kind of funky place where I felt out of my groove, out of alignment. I just kind of tried my relationship with the Lord. I mean, I was making an effort, but it just, the connection wasn't great. And I was writing that off to, well, I'm not seeing my people. I'm not getting enough exercise. I'm sick of cooking. I mean, I'm not getting enough of the things I need to be really, really in my best place. You know, so it's just kind of using that as an excuse. Guys, that's real. Let's be real. We all have a level of stress right now that wasn't here last year. So we don't want to just write that off. That was real. That was happening. But because of that, I hadn't dealt with the deeper thing, that root that we were talking about. And so I knew I had made the Lord had confirmed for me, and I'd made the decision that we were going to be going back to expectations for this study this year. So I had been culling through, going through old notes, because I taught this back in the early 2000s, and I found something from, way back, like 2003, that was in my notes. I found an audio message. I found several written things that I was studying. But that audio message, I thought, you know, I'm going to re-listen to that. And so I put my headphones on. I got my walking shorts on. And I just got out, and I was just walking around my neighborhood. It's pretty quiet back there. And I can make about 3 or 4 or 5 loops, and I get a pretty good little walk in. And so I was listening to this message. And it was talking about expectations. And it was talking about this concept that we've just covered about how whenever we place an expectation on a temporal thing, on a thing that we were hoping to happen, or in particular, a person, that's probably the most common, that we are lying to ourselves, that we have lied and lied and lied to ourselves 1,000 times every time we've done it. And that not only have we lied, but we've denied what the Bible says is true, which is God alone is able to meet our every need. And guys, I'll just confess to you, Bob Giordo, he was in the middle of the crosshairs of that target. I mean, my overreactions had been pretty small. I was doing, 5 reactions to 1 offenses. It wasn't like I was, we were having knockdown, drag out fights every day, but it's like he was on my very, very, very last nerve. He had been on all my other nerves, and at 3 months in, we were on the last nerve. And I was just so frustrated with him and thinking, what you should be doing, and big guys, listen to yourselves, when we are saying, you should have done so and so, if you love me, you wouldn't have done that. And basically demanding of a person or a thing or a situation to provide something for us that we long for and think we need to be okay, y'all, that is wrong. That is wrong. And I had sinned not only against God by denying him that place, but I had sinned against my husband, and I had sinned against myself. I had sinned against my whole household, because I had brought that spirit in of lying and deceit. And so I'm walking along there, and I'm just going, I was weeping. Tears were just running down my face, and I was just going, God, I cannot believe that I have fallen into this trap. I knew better than this. I took a whole series, a whole year on expectations. How did I get deceit? How did I talk myself in? I was just like beside myself. I was truly cut to the quick when I realized that I was swimming in the sea of wrong expectations. And I was so dissatisfied and disgruntled because my expectations weren't being met. And I'm going, and why am I surprised? What made me ever, ever think a human could meet my needs at the deepest level? And so I was crying deep, deep tears of sorrow at my sin. I was wiping my nose with my t-shirt. My neighbors already know I'm weird. I sing praise music in my neighborhood. They're used to me. But I get a lot of my best material from walking up and down those streets. But anyway, I did. I confessed. I repented. I truly did. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can truly grant deep heart repentance, and he did that for me that day. And then I confessed my sin, and I just asked God to forgive me. And then what did I do? I was prompted by that teaching to come back around and ask for God to take my emptiness, that hollow place where I was feeling so needy, and to come and drink of God's living water, drink of the river that flows from the throne room, whose waters bring healing. And that's what I did. I just said, Lord, I need you to come and fill me. I don't know. I'm so empty and dry, Lord. What do you want to give me? And I just was asking, and the first thing that came into my mind was joy. And I thought, oh, Lord, I need a big old drink of joy. And so I just turned it into a prayer, and I just said, Lord, I know your promises. I know I can count on you to keep your word. You never lie. So, Lord, I'm just starting with thanksgiving and rejoicing right now to start priming the pump for the joy that you want to give me by your Holy Spirit, and I'm going to drink it in. Lord, I thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. I thank you that your Spirit lives in me, and that I have the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. I thank you that your joy is my strength. And y'all, by the time I got four or five of those in and just said, Lord, you're my source of joy. I'm expecting you to keep your word. I thank you that you're trustworthy. I thank you that your climate in heaven is joy, and that I can have that on the inside of me. It started bubbling up. So I just continued to just drink of that. And then I said, Lord, what else? Is there anything else? And I felt like the word that was my felt need was hope. I thought, oh, Lord, I know some things you promised about hope. So I just started drinking in hope. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that you have promised that you have given me a future and a hope, that your will for me is good and acceptable and perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have hope, that even when I miss it, even when I put my expectations in the wrong thing, even when I sin against you and myself and my family, Lord, I thank you that I have hope because your mercies are new every morning, that I can still know your faithfulness to me. I have hope because of that. And as I did that, I mean, it was just like, wow, talk about refreshment. I mean, I felt refreshed. I felt filled. I felt lighter. But y'all, I also felt raw because I had just had the heart surgery. God had done a work of clearing out about, you know, it was probably more than 3 months worth of stuff. And so I hope you'll let me take liberty in breaking our protocol of how we usually do things today. But I want to lead us in a time of listening prayer now. I want to read a scripture, and then I'm just going to kind of lead us through an opportunity. I don't know why. I do know why. On our blue paper, we have a whole front and back of a blue piece of paper that has one verse at the top. If you'll find any piece of paper, it doesn't have to be that one. You can either put your pen down and just be silently in prayer, or you can find a place to maybe scribble out some thoughts. And I'd like to lead us in a time of doing, of going through and praying through what we've talked about today and what I just testified about. So I'm going to read this scripture, Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, and this is from the Amplified. It says, wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. So let's go to a time of prayer now. Father, we thank you that you invite us. You say to us in Hebrews, Lord, that you are a high priest who always meets our needs. You also say in Hebrews that we can come boldly to your throne to find help in our time of need. Lord, this is a very stressful time in our world. Lord, we need you. We need you. We need the deep, deep needs that only you can meet. And Father, we just come and ask you to show us now, search us and know our hearts, try us and know our anxious thoughts. Lord, show us those. Show us any offensive way. Show us, Lord, any place where we've put our hope and expectation in a person or an event or in something changing in our world, Lord. Just pause now and let you speak to each individual about what that might be. Father, we thank you that you tell us that that we can receive forgiveness for you. We just ask right now that you would let your Spirit lead us into a place of total and complete repentance. Please grant that to us now, Holy Spirit, Father, as we agree with you that, Lord, we've been lying to ourselves. Forgive us for caving into that deceit and for not believing you, God. Just ask us right now that you forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for our wrong expectations. Forgive us for placing those on others and demanding that they meet our needs. God, forgive us. And Lord, I thank you that when we confess our sins and agree with you, that you are faithful, Lord. You are just. Lord, you have received the righteous sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just claim the blood of Jesus. We thank you that his blood is sufficient to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we receive it by faith. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Just pour that out on us now. A sense of your cleansing, a renewed sense of your presence, God. Pray that you would sustain us with a willing spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, now we want to also ask you to forgive us for denying you your rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. Lord, forgive us for denying your ability to meet our every need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, bless our eyes to see, bless our ears to hear. And Father, I pray that you would identify any roots, or if there's a need for security, if there's a need for love, or if there's a place where we've been unloved, a place where we've been insecure, or a place of acceptance, maybe it's a place where we've been rejected. Father, a place where we feel insignificant, where we need to know that we matter. Lord, maybe it's just a sense of disconnection, and we need your closeness, we need your nearness, for it truly is our source of good. Just pray you would minister to us now, that you would show us those needs. And Lord, I ask you now that as we've identified these hollow places within us, the emptiness inside that would cause us to reach out to a wrong source, Lord, I pray that instead of a wrong connection and a wrong expectation, Father, that's been unmet, Father, we just want to ask you to come now and pour out your river of living water. Lord, we want a great big drink in a place where we've been thirsty. For those legitimate needs to be met. So, Lord, I pray that as we come to you, that you would just identify for us one or two of the most things that we really want to take a drink of. And Father, I feel like you're urging me to say if there might be some of us who need to forgive ourselves, Lord. We don't want to skip that step. Lord, we just want to forgive ourselves right now. For getting it wrong, for missing you, for our unbelief. And so now, Lord, for whatever that first thing we want to take a drink, we just want to thank you that you have that provision. Is it peace? Is it love? Is it joy? Wisdom? Strength? Lord, these are spiritual blessings, and you tell us that every spiritual blessing is ours. It's our inheritance as co-heirs with Christ. So, Lord, we just take a drink of that right now. We just want to drink deeply of whatever that first thing is that you've identified. We just receive it by faith. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've done it right or deserve it, Lord, but because of the blood of Jesus and because of our identity in your kingdom as your daughters. As your bride, we ask for you to pour out your river upon us and within us. And Lord, for maybe someone has a second thirst, we're just going to ask you now to come. We thank you that, Lord, you are the source, that your river of living water that comes from beneath your throne room comes and it flows to that deepest, deepest place within us. Lord, we receive it by faith. And Lord, we just thank you that your word is reliable, that we can count on you to do the things you say in your word, that we can expect you to give us your river of living water. And Lord, I know that for some of us, it's hard on the spot to do it the way we've done it, not expecting this to be what we were going to do today. But Father, I pray that you would give us perseverance to continue to seek you. Lord, in the places where we're not feeling refreshed right now, that you would give us the faith to continue to look to you for what we need. And Lord, for those of us who've experienced a taste of your goodness, Father, we just rejoice and thank you for that. And pray that you would help us not be satisfied with a sip, but Father, that we would be the most well-hydrated people in the kingdom of God, that we would just drink and drink and drink this week of your river. So, Lord, we just commit this time to you. We commit our hearts to you. And we just thank you so much for your love for us. We love you back, Lord. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.